Evening, everyone. Well, during the week, the new year came in. I don't know whether you stayed up to see it come in, but it's this time of year that they've been running all those sorts of year in review type programs, haven't they? And during one of those year in review type programs, I was reminded that 2018 was the year when they officially called off the search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. MH370, of course, disappeared mysteriously way back in 2014. 239 people vanished. And ever since then, over 120,000 square kilometres of the ocean has been scoured. Over 2 million megabytes of data has been collected. And something like $250 million has been spent trying to find the missing flight. It's been an unprecedented hunt, and midway through 2018, it was officially stopped. They reckon it's been the most extensive, most expensive search and rescue mission in the history of the planet. But I'm not so sure. Yes, it was a big search, but I actually reckon there's one other search that makes the hunt for MH370 pale into insignificance, really. It's the search for you by no less than God himself. So you have a look at me that last verse of our reading tonight, verse 10. This is the punchline verse towards which everything in the passage moved towards. Verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now that title, the Son of Man, that's one of Jesus' favourite ways of talking about himself. So you see what Jesus is actually saying about himself in verse 10? He's saying that he has come. In other words, the whole point of Jesus being here on earth in the first place. Because remember, he is God in the flesh. That's what we thought about back on Christmas Day. The birth of Jesus is the arrival of God himself on earth. And here in verse 10, God is saying that the whole point of him being here, the whole point of him taking on flesh, is to seek and to save the lost. Just think about that for a moment. The God of all the universe came to this little speck of a planet specifically for a search and rescue mission. He came to seek and to save the lost. That turns out to be great news for all of us. And that's what's shown in tonight's passage as Jesus meets an unpopular person. As Tristan pointed out, we're looking at over summer, Jesus meeting a whole range of people. Last Sunday, we thought about Jesus meeting a busy person, and that highlighted to us how Jesus is so important that even good and necessary things ought not to distract us from him. Well, this week he meets an unpopular person, and this interaction highlights why Jesus even came in the first place. It's to seek and to save the lost. Let's see how that comes out of the passage. By firstly meeting this unpopular person that Jesus is about to meet. Verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now please notice the two things that we're told about Zacchaeus in verse 2. We're told his occupation and we're told his bank balance. Now many of the people Jesus meets in the gospel, we're not told much at all, and particularly we're not told either of those things, but in this case we are, because both those things highlight how disliked this guy would have been. Firstly, he's a tax collector. Now even nowadays, working for the tax department won't make you the most popular person in the room. Not many of us enjoy paying tax. Back then it was even worse so, because back at the time that Jesus lived, Jews, Israel, were ruled over by the Roman Empire, and so they had to pay taxes to Rome. They hated that. They hated paying money to another nation simply for the privilege of living in their own land. But even worse than that, the Jews who the Romans picked to collect the taxes for them, they were notoriously corrupt and would often charge way above the official tax levels set by Rome simply so as to line their own pockets. They could have bulk billed if they wanted to. No one wanted to. And Zacchaeus, remember we were secondly told, he's wealthy. So clearly this guy's been charging way over the scheduled tax fee. He would have been despised. I noticed in the latest Roy Morgan poll that car salesmen topped the list for the most disliked and least trusted professions in Australia. If they take that survey at the time of Jesus, tax collectors would have easily topped the list. They were hated. And Zacchaeus is a filthy, rich, chief tax collector. This bloke may well have been spat on as he simply walked down the street. And he's about to have a dramatic encounter with the Word become flesh. He wanted to see who Jesus was, verse 3, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. Sort of sounds like this bloke is the Danny DeVito of the New Testament. You know Danny DeVito, he always plays little, short, sneaky people. That sounds like Zacchaeus. He's sneaky, he's shifty, he's unpopular, and because he's short, he's got a bit of a problem here because lots of other people want to see Jesus as well, and he can't see over the top of them. Personally, I feel his pain. Zacchaeus, however, is nothing if not determined. He's got a great idea. He ran ahead, verse 4, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Now, I'm no tree expert, and so I Googled sycamore trees to find out what they look like, and up on the screen is what I discovered. That is a sycamore fig tree. And I'm showing it to you because, man, just look at it. That is seriously a tree that was made for climbing. Those branches, they just sort of go out like rungs in a ladder. And so it's not hard to imagine Zacchaeus pushing through the crowd and scrambling up a tree like that. And it's not hard to imagine that when he's up high enough, you can see him gradually working his way out along a branch, looking out down the street. And it's not hard to imagine that at first, Zacchaeus up that tree, he can see a crowd. And he can make out the top of someone's head in the middle of the crowd. Man, that must be Jesus. And then the crowd gets closer. And it's not hard to imagine Zacchaeus up the tree and he can actually now make out Jesus' face. Oh, wow. That's what he looks like. That's the guy that everyone's been talking about. The bloke who's been calming storms and healing people. And it's not hard to imagine then as the crowd gets closer and closer and closer, you can imagine Zacchaeus now thinking, oh man, how lucky am I? I'm really going to get a good look at Jesus because he's actually going to walk right underneath this tree I picked. And then can you imagine what he felt when at verse 5, Jesus reached the spot. And as I understand it, the actual original language, it means the exact spot. In other words, when Jesus was precisely directly underneath where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." Can you imagine what that would have been like? To have Jesus, the one you've only ever heard stuff about, but you've never actually met him or even seen him before. The most influential person in all of human history. Can you imagine having him look directly up at you in the midst of a huge crowd? He makes eye contact with you. and he calls your name. Zacchaeus, come down. Leslie, come down. Dave, come down. Sally, come down. Can you imagine him calling you by name? How would you feel? Terrified? Honoured? Excited? Zacchaeus, we're told in verse 6, hurried down the tree and welcomed Jesus gladly to his home. The guy probably can't believe that Jesus would even want to have anything to do with him, let alone know his name. Other people can't believe that either. Verse 7 says that all the people who saw this began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Remember, this guy's a hated, low-life, chief tax collector. And Jesus goes with him? And it results in Zacchaeus being a changed man. In verse 8, we're told that Zacchaeus offers to pay back everyone he's ripped off. In fact, simply more than pay them back, he's going to give them four times what he's ripped them off. If he's cheated you out of $50, he's going to give you $200 back. If he's ripped you off of $1,000, he's going to give you $4,000. The guy's been transformed because he's met Jesus, who says in verse 9, salvation has come to this house, because that's exactly why Jesus has come in the first place. And we're back to verse 10. And that punchline verse, the one that describes this amazing mission that Jesus is here on. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Friends, I want you to appreciate tonight how this whole passage has been moving towards that one punchline verse. Everything that's happened, Zacchaeus being such an unpopular person, and yet despite that, him of all people being the guy who Jesus deliberately calls by name out of the crowd to have this encounter with. Now that in itself is very unusual. You look through the Gospels and what usually happens is that other people initiate an interaction with Jesus. Other people come to Jesus because they want him to help them. Other people come to Jesus because they want his advice. Other people come to Jesus because they want him to heal them. But here it's Jesus who initiates it. And it's not with a respectable person. It's not with someone with lots of friends. No, he comes to bring salvation to a sinner. So as to make the point that that's what he's here for. He's here for us all. He's here to seek and save the lost. And that is good news for all of us. Because the New Testament tells us that we're all lost. We're all lost in the sense that we're all guilty of wandering away from God. We're all guilty of rejecting God and sort of walking off the path that he wants us to live. And yet Jesus came, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not to perform miracles and put on a show. He's not here to give us a bunch of rules and regulations and tell us to pull our socks up. He's not here to hang out with nice, popular people. Heck, he's not even here to punish us, which is what we deserve. He's actually here to seek and to save the lost. For those with eyes to see it, that's actually why, back in verse 1, it's why we're told that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It's a reference to Jesus passing through Jericho because he's on his way to Jerusalem. So you've got to understand, Jesus is not just sort of aimlessly roaming around Palestine on tour here. He is specifically heading for Jerusalem. He has resolutely set himself to go to that city, to the cross, to be killed, to be executed. Not for anything he's done wrong, but because of the things we've done wrong. So as to bring us back to God. so as to seek and save the lost, so as to seek and save us. I mentioned earlier about the hunt for MH370 being officially called off during 2018. If you remember when that happened, it produced a lot of heartache and a lot of difficult thinking. When do you stop looking for someone? The families of the missing victims are pleading with officials to reopen the search, at least to get some sort of closure. But when does the cost of the search become too great? We're all lost and far from God. And Jesus came to seek and save us, knowing full well what the cost would be. It was his very life, a substitute for ours. It's astonishing. You must realise how valuable you are to Jesus. Please. And if you do realise that, there's pretty much only one thing left to do. It's what Zacchaeus did in verse 6. He welcomed Jesus gladly. He fell into the arms of his rescuer. See, some time ago, a bloke named Benjamin Mullaney went bushwalking in Tasmania. He was keen to do something called the South Coast Track, which is a walk that normally takes about 10 days to complete. Benjamin, however, decided to wander off the path to have a look at a few extra things. No problem. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly where he was. I'm fine. After 7 days, after 14 days, after 21 days, after 28 days, Benjamin finally owned up to the fact that he had no idea where he was. And after 5 weeks of confusion and disorientation and hunger, Benjamin Mullaney heard some voices, crawled through some thick bush, stumbled back onto the path and into the arms of his rescuers. In the words of one of the rescuers, he was very pleased to see us. I reckon that sounds like Zacchaeus in tonight's passage. He came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. He fell into the arms of his rescuer. Have you done that? So imagine Benjamin Mullaney finally coming face to face with his rescuers, but then turning around and deciding, no, I'll take my own chances back in the scrub. That would be crazy. Perhaps the only thing crazier would be to walk out tonight not having been found and saved by Jesus. Maybe that's a good thing to talk to someone about tonight. If you don't know who to talk to about it, talk to me, talk to Tristan, at least fill in a connect card. But if you are here and you do not yet count yourself as a follower of Jesus, if you're here and you do not yet count yourself as one of God's people, maybe it's time to fall into the arms of your rescuer. And if you're here and you've already done that, which I suspect a lot of us have, if like Zacchaeus you have already gladly accepted Jesus, look, I tell you, tonight's passage, it's a really helpful one for reminding us how important it is to Jesus that to seek and to save the lost. It's why he came. It's why he's travelling through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. It's why he gave up his life. And if it matters that much to Jesus, and we reckon we're his people, it's got to matter to us as well, surely. And so if you are here and you have already been found, maybe it's time to join in the search and rescue party, helping other people hear about Jesus' mission to seek and to save the lost. Tristan's talked about summer mission. Kicks off next weekend. Friends, summer mission, think of it this way, summer mission is a search and rescue mission, helping people hear about their rescuer. Grab Tristan, grab me, grab Ed, grab Teresa. Talk about how you can get involved. Alternatively, this year there are big gaps in scripture teaching in our schools. Every single scripture lesson in our schools is a search and rescue mission. Do you reckon you could help with that? If so, again, chat to me, chat to Tristan, chat to someone. But even those things aside, every single day this year, every single day, whether it's at work, whether it's at your school, whether it's at uni, whether it's TAFE, whether it's your hobby group, whether it's your craft group, whether it's your sporting team, every single day this year, whether you're chatting to your neighbour over the fence, whether you're catching up with family over the summer holidays, virtually every single interaction we have, it's got the potential to be part of a search and rescue mission, helping others hear about the rescue mission that God has launched for them, for us. Because the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save the lost. And if we are his people, surely we share his passion. I'll pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for your amazing grace to us in coming to seek and to save us. Father God, thank you for your Son's willingness to take on flesh, to set himself resolutely to go to Jerusalem to die in our place. Father, thank you. And Father, we pray that we would love others in the way that you have loved us. Amen.